Detroit Beard Collective is a proud sponsor of Creaking Door Paranormal Radio, powered by SlackJawPunks.com.
Guys, tired of trying to make that burly beard of yours look and smell good? Then check this out. Straight out of the Motor City, where they know a thing or two about being tough, comes Detroit Beard Collective, specializing in making that facial hair look good with products like beard butter, beard oils and soaps, specialty combs, and so much more. Come check out the line today at DetroitBeardCollective.com. DBC takes pride in using Detroit and Michigan-based companies and ingredients in all aspects of their product development and manufacturing as they continue to build Detroit's premier grooming company. Even burly dudes like to look and smell good, and DBC will make that happen. Do yourself and your badass beard a favor and log on to DetroitBeardCollective.com and check out all the amazing products they offer. And when you're ready to check out, use promo code SJPDBC to receive 10% off. Detroit Beard Collective, cleaning this world up one beard at a time.
Welcome back inside the Creaking Door Paranormal Radio with Tim Ellis and Brad Blair. Another episode is upon us as we are knocking on that door. Springtime, Brad, but I swear to God, the winter here in northern Michigan and the UP does not want to let go.
It won't leave here.
Wow.
Doesn't it? We lost it for a little bit and then we got the snow back. And I bit it going out into the driveway this morning.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Hit a nice little patch of ice and went ass over tea kettle there. So my back was a little sore, my leg's sore. I've just spent the last 3.5 hours in a tattoo session.
I was worried you're going to be late for studio time, but you made it.
I was as well. We got started a little bit late here in Sault Ste. Marie at Solomon's Tattoo Parlor. Got to give props out to them.
You
Greg
bet.
Solomon, amazing job.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing job. After it scabs over, and of course, everything takes its natural course, it's going to look great.
Yeah, it's actually very cool. You showed me the outline of it, and it's basically of a gypsy woman behind a big crystal ball. So I like the design idea.
Retro gypsy fortune teller. It looks great.
Yeah.
It looks great. Amazing work.
Are you done after this one?
You know, I think I've said I was done after the last couple, so
right. We
will see. I would like to fill in a couple holes here and there.
How many is that for you now?
That is number 5.
Okay.
So
I'm not sitting at 1. I don't plan on catching you anytime soon.
I'm not all inked out by any means.
You're not sleeved up.
Well, no. And it's a lot of that has to do with pain tolerance. So luckily, he had the Netflix going. So I watched 3 hours of Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Well, at least you were laughing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. I laughed through the pain.
Well, good deal. Let that thing heal up while we do our new show here of Creaking Door Paranormal Radio, of course, on our home of SlackJawPunks.com, also as heard on iTunes and Stitcher. So remember, you can, in podcast version, you can take us along whenever, wherever you want to go. You just mentioned Netflix. We encourage people to binge listen. If you've never heard us before, just listen all day. So take us along. So since the last time we spoke, Brad, we've got some good news about Michigan Paranormal Convention. The lineup continues to grow.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. We just added Dustin Perry on there, the paranormal rock star.
You bet.
And
always
a
crowd favorite.
He's such a great guy. And the funny thing with Dustin is 8 years ago when we had the first event, he wasn't on the air on anything at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He'd already finished up his run on Ghost Hunters International.
Right.
He'd been off the air, I want to say, for a year or two. And the crowd loved him.
Yeah.
And they've loved him every year since, so we had to bring him back in for this year.
He's one of those people who understands what, A, social media means to your career these days.
Yes.
And he's just so good to the people when he's with them.
He is genuinely a hell of a nice guy. And that shows up in every aspect of his personality, whether on stage or working with the crowd,
right,
sitting at his table. He takes time for everybody, and he's just a wonderful human being.
He really is. So we're very excited to have Dustin back, and of course, that'll be coming up in August. And make sure you check out the lineup and get those tickets. We can talk a little bit more about that, though, later on in the show. But I guess might as well, without further ado, jump into that part of the show that we like to call Paranews, where we dig into the world of the strange and creepy. And Brad, go ahead, give us our headline story today.
Once again, the Ouija board rearing its ugly head.
Always seems to.
It's been coming up a lot lately in the news. So yeah. It seems to come in threads, I guess, here and there. So this one, I can kind of understand this one. An outraged mother says her son is having nightmares since the kindergarten teacher in his class used Ouija boards.
Wow, a kindergarten teacher?
Kindergarten, that's a little young.
Wow.
Even by our standards.
Yeah,
so,
it is.
Yeah, the mother of the kindergartner at Milwaukee Public School said that her 5-year-old son is having nightmares and will not sleep. He's scared now to go to bed at night, she says, to be in the dark or anywhere alone. So he's, I can understand. They were shutting off the lights and making it dark and talking to spirits in her son's classroom at the Zablocki Elementary School in Milwaukee. That's not something that should be at school, the mother says. Created in the 1880s, the Ouija board is said to answer questions from participants via a device players touch that points to letters and numbers on the board. We kids in the business call that a planchette.
A planchette, yes.
Yes, so it was connected to spiritualism in the late 1800s and exploded in prominence as a tool of the occult after it made an appearance in the 1973 blockbuster The Exorcist.
Oh, yeah. Captain Howdy.
Yes, the kids have been asking for scary stories, and I got the board and move the paper clips to answer some of the questions, the teacher wrote the mom in an email. The mother told the station interviewing her that they asked about scary characters in movies. She did not say that they were spirits. It was all done in fun. I understand your concerns. It was silly, and I'm sorry, says the teacher. So,
be interesting to see what kind of ramification he gets from the school board, especially in today's politically correct world.
Yeah, I'll follow up on this one because it is an interesting story
really
to see
is.
What's happening. And at that young of an age, I couldn't. I think there was probably just a lapse of judgment there.
I would think so. I mean, I could see you and I maybe 20 years ago if we went into teaching, getting excited and wanting because we, we're into the paranormal so much and love that kind of thing. We would have, at one moment, for a brief fleeting moment, thought it would have been a good idea to bring a Ouija board into a kindergarten room. So, staying along the lines of young children and toys like the Ouija board, some don't call it a toy. They think it's worse. But here's a doll, too, that can also be much worse. How about a voodoo doll?
I love me some voodoo dolls.
Yeah, well, this is apparently there is a possessed voodoo doll that is wreaking havoc on some small communities in Nicaragua. The Ministry of Health in Nicaragua is working to help officials in a small village in Nicaragua deal with over 30 residents who claim they have been possessed by the devil, which many believe came to one of them in a voodoo doll. Now, this is not the first time a mass possession has occurred in this area. It happens so often that it's been given the name Grizzly Siltness.
Grizzly Siltness.
Yeah, I think I partied with him once.
Maybe.
Which means crazy sickness. Is it a demonic possession, an illness, mass hysteria, or something else? That is the question. But according to a spokesperson for Rosario Murillo, the vice president of Nicaragua, yes, that is how big this has gotten. The latest outbreak of Grizzly Siltness was first reported in February, just over a month ago, in the community of Radi Alta. A small number of residents reported suffered convulsions, hallucinations. Many ran until they fainted, waking up later and remembering nothing.
I've had that problem before.
But maybe that was after the bar.
Maybe I've got the Grizzly Siltness.
That's what we'll call it.
Grizzly Siltness?
At 2 a.m.?
Yeah.
As we're waiting for the cab?
The 2 a.m. Grizzly Siltness.
Here's the thing. It has now moved over to another village as well. So it's starting to just kind of spread like crazy. So. Interesting, in Nicaragua, they're blaming a voodoo doll for possessing a couple of different communities.
So basically, they've got the flu.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Or they've got what happened at Salem. Kind of sounds like the whole Salem witchcraft thing.
May have
here.
Been a result of Grizzy Siltness.
See, we just rewrote the history books.
Wow, yeah. Look at that. Well, my next story is a couple episodes back, I think, we were talking about this professor that got kind of in a little bit of crap with his university because he took his students on a Bigfoot hunt.
Which I'm still on the side of the professor.
That was funded by the university.
Yeah.
So there's some issues going on there, and some state legislators, I believe that was in New Mexico, mm-hmm. are trying to ban funds on this. However, the National Park Service, in the meantime, is spending $149,000 researching Bigfoot, sea monsters, unexplained lights, and other paranormal activities. Good for them.
Yes.
I like seeing the tax money go to this. Kawarak Inc., a nonprofit group that serves people of Eskimo, Aleut, or American Indian descent in the Bering Strait region between Alaska and Russia, received this grant money last year. The organization illustrates its project with a picture of Hairy Man, a mythical Bigfoot-like creature. The group is not just interested in researching Hairy Man, but a whole host of supernatural creatures. Kawarak's social science program has recently initiated a new research project on the supernatural environment. Kawarak's description of the project. Phenomena that can be described as supernatural include, among others, things such as sea monsters, little people, wild babies. Huh?
Wild babies.
Wild babies, unexplained lights, animals that can change into other things, and invisible seabirds.
Now, a lot of those I've heard of. The seabirds, not sure.
The wild babies. Babies.
That's a new one for us.
Yeah.
How do we research that?
I don't know. I don't know if I want to Google wild babies and see what comes up.
You do that while I share our last
that
story.
That could take a wrong turn. Let's see.
You Google away while I talk about being careful about going down a rabbit hole. We always hear that. Don't open up the rabbit hole. Don't go down. Well, it happened in England, and wow, the discovery. An apparently ordinary rabbit hole in a farmer's field they have now found leads to an underground sanctuary said to have been used by devotees of a medieval religious order. But is everything as it seems? According to local legend, the Canton Caves near Shifnal in Shropshire were used by the followers of the Knights Templar in the 17th century. Now, it's not that far underground once you go start to look a little bit deeper of this very unassuming rabbit hole, this huge underground cavern and almost palace-like place, almost not even touched for many, many years, is just sitting there. Now, the original purpose is shrouded in mystery, though, because Historic England, which is a club, describes the caves as grotto, and they believe they were probably built in the late 18th or 19th century, hundreds of years after the Templar order was dissolved. But in its report, it says the caves appear to have been used for black magic rites by a more modern-day type of club. I don't know if club's the right word for
club,
that.
Club, huh?
But nonetheless, very interesting. Just in a farmer's field, very unassuming rabbit hole, and people have walked by it for years upon years upon years, and then they finally decided to take a look, and the pictures that are online, I mean, this place is huge, and just cavernous, and rooms dug out upon rooms, and it has become quite the spectacle now that it has been found.
You know, I've never done a lot of research into the Knights Templar thing, but I've always been fascinated.
Me too.
I enjoyed that. What was it? Ancient America. It was a show on. I want to say History or Discovery. I can't think of the name now. It was all basically on the Knights Templar and different mysteries, but most of it was based on their travels and other ancient races traveling to the U.S. well before the Europeans settled here.
Must have missed that one.
Yeah. Anyway. Hooked.
Anything on crazy babies?
Well, wild babies
or
Alaska.
Wild babies.
Yeah. All I'm pulling up is pictures of animal babies. Baby animals, otters, got some bears.
I wonder if they mean, you know, the old legend of the wild child that they find that was raised by wolves?
Yeah, I've never heard them referred to as babies, though. Usually they've got to get a little bit of movement going before they can be
wild.
Exactly.
Yeah, just rolling around in a poopy diaper doesn't quite constitute wild.
I suppose it could, but I don't think that's what they're referring to in this story. We'll do some research and get back to you next time on
that. We digress.
Yes, right. As usual.
There we go. That is wrapping up Paranews on this edition of Creaking Door Paranormal Radio, as we are now getting ready to invite our next guest inside the Creaking Door. Very excited, Brad, to have this gentleman back in. He is a friend of ours from the paranormal field. Reverend Tim Shaw.
And truly is a gentleman.
He really is.
He's one of the nicest. One of the best guys out there.
Honest guys you will ever meet. And we're excited to have him back in because we haven't talked to him in a while.
We haven't. He's got a new project going, Curiosity. We're going to find out what that's all about.
You bet. So that is up next. Reverend Tim Shaw coming inside the Creaking Door, powered by SlackJawPunks.com. Do you love your horror films, comic books, and TV shows served up with a side of what the f***? Then we have the place for you.
Slackjaw Punks!
Yeah, SlackjawPunks.com. We dare you to check them out. A podcast that focuses on all the new horror films, comic books, and TV shows, and interviews with the authors and directors, but covered only the way the guys from
Slackjaw Punks
can do it. Plus, you can enjoy written commentary on all of the new stuff, too, from a whole slew of staff writers. So stop wasting time and check it out.
Slackjaw Punks!
SlackjawPunks.com. Serving it up with a side of what the f***? And welcome back inside the Creaking Door with Tim Ellis and Brad Blair. And Brad, very excited to welcome a gentleman back into the Creaking Door for his second time with us. But he's a gentleman, and I use that word very fondly of him. Gentleman, a guy we have known for quite some time now, thanks to the workings of Michigan Paranormal Convention. We've met so many great people through that event.
We have.
People who we actually consider and call friends these days. He may not consider us and call us that, but we do.
He might call us other things.
Exactly. We're very honored to welcome back inside the Creaking Door with us for the second time, Reverend Tim Shaw. Tim Shaw, thank you, sir, so much for being with us.
Wow, I don't know who you guys are talking about, friends and knights and all that other stuff. What the heck are you talking about? These are not the two guys that I know sitting in the bar drinking blasts until like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Well, you guys are still there. I got to go back. I'm a lightweight.
Right.
I think we've got the wrong person on the line, Brad. We better hang up and start over again.
Check line 3.
Seriously, guys, you know what? That Michigan Paracon, I was so blessed. The year that you guys invited me up, and I know that you guys didn't know me from Adam, and you guys have always taken care of me and thought about me, and I got to tell you what, Michigan Paracon is probably the number one Paracon out there, the best run. Yeah, you guys get the best people in there, and it's just a great time. If anybody doesn't go to this thing, shame on you, because this is pinnacle of Paracons.
Well, shit, Brad. I guess he just booked himself for 2018,
yep,
didn't he?
Yeah, looks it. Yeah.
No, Tim, thank you so much. That truly means the world to us, coming from someone like you who we know, you know, you've traveled a lot. You've done a lot of these events. You've been to a lot through the circuit. So we do appreciate that. That means a lot. And we're very honored to have you back for 2017, especially since last year with you had some family issues. Your wife got ill. Thank God she's fine now. But, you know, so many people, including us, were sad to see that you had to leave. We knew you had to be with your wife, though. And we're so glad to have you back this year.
Well, I'm just so thankful that you're inviting me back. And I owe you guys big time. And,
We'll pick up on that at the bar.
That you guys want me to talk about, and I will be there. Gallery, whatever you guys want to do, I'm at your disposal. I don't care if I sit down at all for the entire weekend. I will be almost your man slave, except without the ball gag and collar. How's that?
You wish.
Well, I can tell you what, the topic you're speaking on that we had you scheduled for with witchcraft is fantastic. It's a topic we haven't touched yet here at MI Paracon, and we've had a lot of people over the years ask about that subject matter, so we're very excited about that.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, I'm very blessed up here. And I always say I'm blessed, and people get tired of me saying it. But, you know, as someone who was brought up Roman Catholic and spiritualist, you would think that I would not rub elbows with the crazy people that I do. And it's so wonderful where I live, because I can count people that are Wiccans and pagans and in Northern tradition heathens as good friends, and Santerias and the Hoodoo Voodoo clan. I mean, I get a chance to really understand and take the time to pick their minds and just really understand what they do, what their beliefs are, and how it relates to me, and how I can actually use it to improve other people's lives. And I think it's great. And a lot of people are, you know, they have that, you know, they have that exorcist movie type thing where, oh, I'm not going to go over there with those people because, you know, they're, you know, dancing naked around fires with dead chickens. Well, yeah, I do that in the kitchen, but that's usually after hanging out with you guys up at Brad's backyard, you know. But really, when you think about these things and you're able to go and really relate them to the problem at hand, because over the years I've worked a lot of negative cases, and I started off working with through the spiritualist religion, but there are some cases that just didn't resonate correctly. And I really think now, being multifaceted and understanding so many different religions, I'm able to go out and really help in these situations. And it's also good for when I'm sitting there and I'm at the Michigan Paracon drinking with Tim and Brad. How's that?
And you have more time to get out and do this nowadays. For those who don't know, Reverend Shaw's recently retired from his day job. How's that working out for you, Tim?
Oh, my God. This is, you know, I knew I was in trouble when I went to sign the papers to retire. And this beautiful, kind lady looked at me and my wife as we sat there. And I was really kind of like worried about signing that paper, because this is a huge thing. 34 and a half years of pushing asphalt and finishing concrete and plowing snow and all that. And she looked at me and she said, "What? Why did you wait so long?" And I was like, I thought I was retiring early. And she's like, "No, good for you." And it worked out well. And I'm really blessed. And my schedule really kind of blew up this year. I've gotten so many opportunities locally, which I really didn't get a chance to, you know, explore in the past, because of, you know, working days and then running away on weekends to all the different little things I was doing. So I've gotten some wonderful opportunities, and I am just so thankful, so thankful.
Well, it seems like too, Tim, you know, and it's fun to follow you on Facebook. And anyone who's listening right now who doesn't follow Tim Shaw on Facebook, we recommend it, because he's very active on it. He keeps his followers involved with the adventures. And it seems like since the retirement, Tim, you've really been able to jump back into doing some independent film.
Oh, yeah. I love it. You know what? I actually ended the Black Cat Lounge that I was running, you know, that I had did a live radio show for 9 years. Mm-hmm. And I did it for one reason. I did it, well, two reasons. I had to go and take care of my mom's estate after she passed. But also, I did it to challenge myself. Hell, I'm going to be 60 years old this year, and I have no clue about how this stuff works. And I sat down and I taught myself videography and editing and learned more about the other end of the spectrum here. And I loved it. Season one of Curiosity was a hit. We got some really great compliments, and a lot of people watched us. And season two, we just put out there. We interviewed Sharon Coyle Farley at her establishment, the Rolling Hills Asylum. But you know what was so cool about that? Not only, you know, we go out there not to investigate, but yet we have paranormal stuff that happens to us. We went out there the first time, and one of my cameras went out of focus twice. It went out of focus, went back into focus, went out of focus, and it was on a manual setting. And I've worked with at that time I was using the DSLRs, and I've worked with them my whole life, and I just can't believe it happened. So we went back out there and reshot it, and it came out great. But we also got a great EVP that like shocked me when I was reviewing the tape. You know, all our dailies, and it was amazing. And as a matter of fact, we have I just finished up editing a episode with a good friend of mine, Joe Piari, who builds Spirit Enhancer boxes, which, like you see the Geo Box and the Wonder Box, these right. actually, you can use whatever radio you want with them, and it'll filter out all the nosebleed noise.
Right.
And as we're working, I had two batteries go out in one camera, and I had my 6 hour my heavy duty big boy. The battery went out in it too. Both of them lasted about 20 minutes. We had four enhancer boxes going with spirit boxes rolling all at the same time, and it just went and drained it. So this stuff is happening, even though we're not out looking for it.
Let's rewind a little bit, Tim, for listeners that might not be familiar with Curiosity. Let's give them a little introduction. Tell us where it came from, what's the inspiration, and where you're going with this.
Well, Curiosity is a pet project of mine. A long time ago, in a far, far land, not so quite north as you guys and Sue,
yeah.
But I used to get a lot of complaints where people always were out, like, complaining that to go to these haunted locations were big money, and they were nothing. There was never anything close by. It was always going to be a full $500 plus. You know, this whole thing. And one day I sat down and I said, there's got to be something out there. There's got to be something more that people can find adventure in. And I decided that I was going to go and just start looking for unusual people, unusual locations to go and film. I wanted to share this with people, and my whole goal is for Curiosity is I refuse to, anybody wants to go on our website, you can go and watch everything for free. It's not a pay thing at all.
Which I love. I respect that community. I respect that a lot, that you guys keep this free.
Well, it's part of it, because I'm a big karma guy. You know, what you put out there comes back in,
right.
And I love it. And I get a chance to go out to we went down to Pittsburgh to Trundle Manor, which is like Rockabilly meets the Addams Family, and it's a couple. They're so sweet, they're just so great. But the place is crazy. You go into this place, and it's like it's amazing. You don't even know where to look, and they live in this house. And, you get a chance to pick their brains, why they do this and how they met. I think that's fascinating. Yeah. And from Buffalo, it's 3 hours. So I decided that, anybody can go out there and start looking for their own adventure if they go and do a little bit of research. And you don't have to go and pay big money to do anything. There's so much. I found a hanging jib in a museum, which is like really unusual. I found an unusual rock formation that they called the Devil's Rock. Supposedly, they chained the devil to it, and he paid so much that he went and he wore it down. There's so many things like that in your own communities if you go and take the time. And I get real passionate about it because I'm a big history guy, mythology and history, and I just get wowed. And now I get the chance to go out there and actually share all this great stuff with our co-host, Eric Charles, who is like this crazy ex-punk rock guitarist singer who like writes music like Moonlight in the Morgue, and he writes all these Ivanka about a werewolf. There's all these crazy songs that he writes, but it just works, and when we have such a great time, and I think the audience really, the viewership really gets addicted to it after a while. They're like, "Oh, what's going on now?" I mean, next month we did an in-studio interview, and I will say, in-studio is actually my basement with a backdrop, because it's the $110 studio that we use. But there's a great couple out there that they dress up as vampires, they do face painting, and they. They're really into a lot of movies, but they go and they give back to the community. They help with charities and all these events so that they can go and be a part of giving back. And that to me just blows my mind, on top of the fact that they look really cool all dressed up.
Well, I'll tell you what I like, Tim, at least about season one, is that it's not just ghosts and hauntings. I mean, you guys delved into some witchcraft. One of my favorite episodes was the one that you did on UFO and cryptids. And so, you kind of take the whole fringe aspect of the weird.
I love it. Well, this is my whole thing. Everybody out there is doing ghost hunting.
Right.
And you guys know, I've done some pilots, and I've been, blessed enough to be guest on some great shows. to help out. And but there's more to it than that. I mean, there's so much out there, and everybody's got a story. And a lot of times you stumble into some really unusual stuff. Like you mentioned the cryptid episode. Brian and Terry Siege, I love them to death. They're really competent. They're big into cryptozoology, but they're also into UFOlogy. They're also into paranormal. And they could not wait to take us to Ohio. We were in Pennsylvania where we shot, and we drove to Ohio to the Beaver Falls and show us that lock, that where, you know, this abandoned canal lock where the architect's daughter had died, and they actually buried her into the lock until they were done with the whole canal, and then they came back and removed her from the lock, and then they were taking her back to Germany, and the ship sank, and everybody died. But what a phenomenal story that is.
It was.
They get a chance. I mean, I was honored that they would go and take me to this location, and it's great, and I get a chance to go out there and hang out, and sometimes I get a free lunch. What am I going to say? I'm not going to lie.
So you are making money off this. That's good. You're getting lunch out of it. Attaboy.
Listen, I don't do anything without a free lunch. You know how that works.
Well, that's always written into your contract for MI Paracon is free lunch. So you're a cheap date. We appreciate it. Reverend Tim Shaw is our guest right now inside the creaking door. It's an honor to have him back in with us, Tim. Let's recap what we've talked about so far. You've retired. By retiring, you've really been able to jump into your curiosity television side of it, if you will, video. But now, one thing we're very excited about, Brad and I, and let's jump into that now. You're going to get back into the radio side of things now as well.
Absolutely. And originally, we were going to bring it back as the Black Cat Lounge, because it had such a brand. It's you know, so recognized.
Sure.
But I decided, just like here, just like the video thing, I'm going to cut ties. I want to cut ties. We want to start fresh. And I'm going to have a co-host, which is like so foreign to me because I've never had a co-host. Well, yes, I did. I'm sorry. When I was on CBS, I had a co-host.
It's a pain in the ass, Tim. Don't do it.
It really is. When you're working with divas like Brad, it's crazy.
Listen, Eric and all I have to do is take him to a Chinese buffet, and we're all cool, baby.
So.
We're all cool. That's how we work. We're going to call it Curiosity Radio. And it's going to be a little bit of an extension. And we're going to conquer a little bit of everything. We're going to have a little self-talk where we're just talking. We're going to bring in some guests. We may be heavy on spirituality. We may be heavy on paranormal. We may be heavy on the flavor of the week. We don't know yet. And that's what's so fun about it. And I was so blessed that you guys, that the network, just as I was ready to jump with another network, I got this offer to come with you guys. And I said, well, I don't know. And it worked out the way it is. And I always say, spirit will always present the opportunity that is good for you. And if you don't take it, it'll come back around.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it was still good for me. And I called, and they were like, yeah, baby, come on in. And I said, I'll take the flip-flops, throw them out the window, and I am with you guys.
We are so excited and honored to have you now as a part of the Slackjaw Punks family here with us, a great company out of Detroit, the Motor City, young, upstart, very hungry, very aggressive, and it's been great since we've been with them going on 3 years, 2.5 years for us already now.
There.
And so when we found out that Reverend Tim Shaw was bringing his radio prowess over to Slackjaw Punks, we were very excited. So welcome aboard, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I am so excited. And we, as a matter of fact, I don't have the tentative date yet when we are going to go, and I'll let you guys know when I get it all nailed down. But we're doing all our intros and outros and bumps and everything, getting everything ready, because we want to be able to do something that is professional and as professional as I can make it. And as I'm broadcasting here in the guest bedroom / toyland of broken things and vortex from hell here, and we'll see what goes on. But I'm so excited because I get a chance to get back on the radio, which is really one of my first loves. And my guys get a nosebleed from me saying it, but I've been so blessed, because when I first started out, I never thought anybody would listen to me. I got into radio kicking and screaming. I didn't want to do it at all. And I was just like a, half-wit author that, you know, did a little local book, and it just grew from there. And I've met so many great people, and I just thank everybody. And look at you guys. You know, if it wasn't for being on the radio, I probably would never have gotten a chance to meet you guys and be a part of the Michigan Paracon in August. Everybody, if you don't have a ticket now, do it. I don't want to hear you. There's no excuses. Get out there and buy the ticket.
Wonderful. You mentioned your room of broken toys, Tim. You kind of have a collection of the macabre, do you not?
Yeah.
How does Nan feel about that?
So long as I keep the stuff up in the room, it's not too bad. It's on the second floor. Every so often, you'll hear a little something scooting around up here in the middle of the night, but it's not too bad. I've got about 17 Ouija boards all put away in one of my trunks, and I've got some haunted objects that I've picked up over the years, and that's actually underneath the guest bed. So if you guys ever stop here and stay overnight,
perfect.
Just don't look underneath the bed. You'll be in better shape if you don't.
A little action you might not want.
Oh, no. I just got something really cool the other day. You know, I was up at the Rolling Hills Asylum on Saturday, and it's unheated, so it's very cold. We were celebrating Roy Krause's 127th birthday, and he was a resident who was affected by gigantism, and he was over 7 feet tall, and he's got a real sad story. So they celebrate him there, and there's a lot of interaction with him. So it was so cold and that Saturday, and then I was, exhausted, and we were going out with friends, and we're going to all these reuse places and all these warehouses that don't have any kind of heat. And the very last place we went into, I looked, and there sitting in front of me was a vault model that you would sell at a funeral director's store or funeral home. And what, I'm an author. Yeah, there, hey. But you go, and what happens is that after you go and you dig a hole, I know here, at least in New York State, you have to have a concrete vault in which you place the casket for hygiene reasons, and then they put the top on there. Well, this is a model. It's about 12 by 5 or 6. I looked at that thing, and I said, oh, it's got to come home with me. And the best, I went and I dickered with the guy, and I got it for what I wanted, and I just went to do something else, and the guy looks at my wife and my friends that were standing there going, is that your husband? And my wife just, like, I don't know if I should say yes or not. And he looked and goes, no, your husband is into some strange stuff. And my friend Amy looked at him all damn squarely and says, oh, you can't even imagine what he's into. At that point, he said, well, thank you. He turned around and walked away.
Oh, love it. Now, for people who don't know Tim Shaw, he is Reverend Tim Shaw, but of the spiritual side of things, not a Christian reverend by the terminology. But you are a psychic medium. You can do readings. You can talk to the dead. So you are in touch with that whole side of the world, if you will. So keeping that in mind, Tim, when you love to collect the artifacts of the macabre, have you ever looked at a piece at first? You see it and you're like, I want that. I've got to have it. But then when you get around it and you start to feel the energy and read the energy around it, have you ever walked away from a piece?
No, because I'll be honest with you, because I cleanse them, I clean them, and I render them neutral,
okay.
Which is pretty much as when people go and they send me Ouija boards, or I buy a new Ouija board or whatever, and it comes in the mail, and if I'm not in town, my wife, my lovely wife, will say, you got a package. I said, oh, where is it? I get all excited with the mail. I'm like a little kid. And she goes, it's in the garage. And I went, oh. So I open up the garage door, and there's a package laying there on the floor of the garage, which I know what it is, so I have to go and I do my cleansing thing outside, and I render it neutral. So I don't ever worry about that. The only time I had a trouble was my wife does a lot of sewing, and there was a child's box. A baby was born stillborn in the hospital, and the mom had this memory box, and it had the little hat and stuff that was associated with the child that had passed. and it was sitting on the dining room table. My wife was going to reline it, and I'd walk by it, and I'd get the weirdest feeling in my right in the pit of the solar plexus. I said to her, "You have to get this up and just put it in your craft room, because I don't want to do anything to it. You know, because it's got some mojo. It's the parent and the child's energy with it, and I don't want to disturb that. But I can't have it. I can't walk through this living room. It can't sit on the table."
Wow.
So that's about the only time I had a problem with anything. But other stuff, no. I mean, I believe my whole motto is "so you believe, so it is," which is all part of the working with intent or spell casting or whatever you're using. And I definitely believe through the use of intent that you can render stuff very, 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 very innocuous. But I also use something called Florida water that I pick up at a local Santeria shop, the Indio Botanica down here on Niagara Street in the west side of Buffalo, which is a really phenomenal place. I get all my candles for candle magic there. I get a lot of different little things there. And Florida water is real powerful stuff. Big time powerful stuff, and I would say it's on par with the holy water that I get from a basilica nearby, where there is the remains of Father Nelson Baker are right now are interred, and he's on the fast track to becoming a saint.
Wow.
So I believe that just the location itself lends a lot to the holy water. But this Florida water is just amazing. I mean, I've recommended it for people that have had problems in their shops and in their houses and cars and whatever, and I firmly believe that it's pretty neat and it works well.
So is your wife into this at all, Tim? Because it sounds like she'll take your packages and put them out in the garage and wait for you, but you've been into spiritualism forever, and I don't mean to make it sound like you're old. I'm just saying, as far as your life goes, you have been into it for
I'm going to be 60 this year.
You're the coolest 60-year-old I know, I'll tell you that much.
But Nan is, I just smell like that. I just smell old. But Nan, because, when she met me, I was not, I was a reader, but I wasn't really a heavy-duty reader. I didn't do a lot of, I was just sort of a chipper. I'd take her out to the Lilydale Assembly here in Western New York. A couple times during the summer, and she would get a reading, or we'd be at one of the gallery readings that they had. And I kind of kept it off to the back. And when we were on our honeymoon, we were in the Bahamas, and I looked up, and there was somebody in the room, and I started yelling, and Nancy was like freaking out, and it wasn't anybody human. And she always says, I always knew he was into this stuff, and she didn't use the word stuff, but another word was four. But I didn't know you were so deep into it. And at that point, I just kind of, I just opened up and I just started really working openly. So she's fun. She goes to, the services, and, if I'm doing a lecture locally, she'll come with me. But paranormal, no. She doesn't mind me bringing this stuff in, so long as I do my little dance around it and cleanse it up. But she's just like, the thing that she always tells me if I'm leaving to do something, she goes, "I don't mind you going, just don't bring anything back." At first, I thought it was a hygienic problem, but now I know what it means.
Tim, you once told me something that it's always stuck with me in the back of my head, and this is going back to you just speaking about intent. And you've always said that, we're surrounded by energy. Energy is all around us, but energy is neutral. It's the intent
right.
That you plan to use with that energy, whether it's a positive energy or if it's a negative energy. And different religions
Correct.
Throughout the world have named that positive energy and that negative energy other things. So it's all around us. Everyone talks about it just in different names. But it's all in the intent and how we use it. And I've always remembered that when you told me that.
Well, that's the whole secret behind it. I used to think as a spiritualist that we had the corner. We had the corner of we cornered the market on, and all this energy work and all that. And then when I started working with, I had met Ray Buckland, who brought part of one of the different sects of the pagan, the Wiccan religion, to the U.S., and I started learning from him, going to classes and his lectures and such. And then I started being able to go and see the similarities between what I was doing in spiritualist work and then Reiki healing, and with how the pagans were working with spellcraft, and how what you were working with, you know, how within the hoodoo and voodoo realms. And I started seeing a similarity, that string that came with that just crossed all these borders, and it was energy, and energy is neutral, and it has to be affected by something, whether it is living from this planet, this plane of existence, or that of the other side. And when it comes through, and you can manipulate it for good or bad, and it's up to you to do it. But I'm a firm believer that whatever you send out there comes back at you. So I'm a firm believer in a good defense is a good offense when it comes to, like, spell casting and that. But you have to be very careful of what you're doing it with. And I know myself, if when people come to me and they talk to me about it, I always say, listen, this is, you got to be very careful. Don't do it out of being malicious. Put it out there that if they do something to you, it's like an automatic thing. It'll just get slapped back with it. Don't do it to hurt anybody physically. Just all you want to do is just shake them up enough that they're going to really kind of think about doing something to you again. And that's what's really good. And my good friend Onyx from Strange Brew, she's the one that we interviewed for with the witch episode. She has no qualms about pulling out all the strength, you know, all the anything that she wants to do to somebody who's like a murderer or a rapist or a child molester. She doesn't think twice about it, and she's one of those people I wouldn't get mad at me because I know what she can do. But
good to know.
I will say that you know, other than that, I mean, she always says the same thing, you know, just be very cautious of what you do. This is not a flippant thing. So many people watch, you know, they have grown up watching Charmed and some of the other stuff that's on TV, and sort of give it a gray area. And you know, and I got to tell you what, I mean, it's, you got to watch that gray area. You know, that gray area you can really get into a lot of trouble with. So I try to minimize the gray area as much as I can whenever I'm working with anything of that nature. And I've seen a lot of people get in trouble with it and open doors that they shouldn't have opened up and let something into this side of the plane. And, you know, just by their attitudes because of what they saw on TV.
Right, yeah. And I think that's the double-edged sword with the popularity of the field now, because of television. It's really opened people's eyes, but it's also got a lot of people who aren't prepared just trying to play around in it, and obviously it's not something to be played with.
No, you guys know what it's like. You have to have some kind of common sense. You got to be able to go and say, hey, wait a minute, gang, let's put the brakes on here. We have to think about what's going on. Mm-hmm. Why are we doing this? What are the possible ramifications? Mm-hmm. I remember one of my mentors who taught me how to table tip, you know, a spiritualist communication thing where the table, it's like part of a, you could use a part of a seance or you can do it independently. But I remember her saying that she had a case where she had to go to the Ithaca College in the dorm, and they had all sorts of problems. And the reason why they had problems is they had a party, and of course they brought out a Ouija board, and everybody was drinking and doing all sorts of other things that we won't mention. And we believe that there's something out there called the natural laws. And one of the natural laws is like attracts like, you know. So they opened up a door. They didn't close it. And they, you know, you don't, when you're working with what, like any kind of communication, two-way communication device, whether it's a recorder or a Ouija board or even a pendulum, if you're working with it, you know, with an alphabet wheel, if you're doing that, you can open up a can of whoop-ass on yourself. And what happened was is they started to get all sorts of infestation and all this stuff that was starting to go on, and people were starting to freak. So they called her in, and they cleansed the place, which was no big deal. They kind of, whatever, they, you know, closed the portal, vortex, whatever you want to call it. But she sat down and taught people how to properly work the Ouija board, how to open the session, how to close the session. And I said, why would you do that? That's like giving somebody, you know, that has a gun, bullets. And she looked at me. She said, they're going to play with it anyway. So why don't they, you know, let's teach them how to do it right so they don't run into problems.
Yeah, makes sense.
Oh, What a great idea. So, yeah, you have to watch that stuff.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Tim, I know one place you can check out the season one of Curiosity is at SeanThomasProductions.com. Is there any other location, YouTube, or any other place that people can go to check out season one and get ready for season two?
Well, you can go, and we're right on YouTube. Those are the two places right now that we're on. And thank you for giving me our little website a plug. That's our co-host is actually the web designer of it, and we're going to actually go and open up a store where you can get some t-shirts and you can find my books and stuff on there. That's coming up now because we didn't know if we were even going to be able to go into season two, but we loved it so much. So yeah, we're going to have fun with it. Just keep checking it out, and we're going to do we're going to release an episode once a month for I think we're going to shoot six. I think we're going to do six episodes this year, and we've got three already in the can, ready to go. And I've got two places that we're looking at, and I'm going to go and talk about the Ouija boards, and I'm going to show my collection, and we're going to go and discuss how to do a session safely and correctly. So
that's a great show.
A lot of good stuff up there.
You bet. Well, fantastic. Again, head on over to SeanThomasProductions.com. You can find season one of Curiosity there, or you can find it right on YouTube. Punch in Curiosity as well. And get ready, because coming back to the airwaves as well, right here at our home of SlackJawPunks.com, Tim Shaw is going to be coming back as well with the podcast version of Curiosity. So very excited about that, Tim. Thank you, my friend, so much for coming on Inside the Creaking Door with us.
And thank you very much. And everybody out there, tickets, buy tickets, Michigan Paracon. If you're not there, I'm going to talk about you.
All right, he's signed for 2019 already.
We also get to work with Tim in Chicago in October at Ursula Bielski's Chicago Ghost Con.
That's right. We will be very excited to be there.
Lots of Reverend Tim time coming up for us this fall, whether we want it or not.
I don't know if that's
not. All right. Reverend Tim Shaw, thank you so much, my friend, for coming on in. Take care of yourself. We'll see you soon, Tim.
Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You bet. There we go. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more on the way with Creaking Door Paranormal Radio, powered by SlackJawPunks.com.
Now that's a drink I can sink my teeth into.
Get ready to enjoy the most unique cola experience you've ever had with Dead World Zombie Soda. With spine-tingling flavors like Orange Roamer, Goon Bitters,
Cherry Cola,
Brain Sap,
Cream Soda,
Grizzly Swill.
Great.
12 different flavors you won't forget from Dead World Zombie Soda. Check them out at deadworldzombiesoda.com to find out where you can stock up just in time for the zombie apocalypse. Dead World Zombie Soda. All natural for the unnatural. Don't be afraid to grab a cold one.
And welcome back inside Creaking Door Paranormal Radio. Tim Ellis and Brad Blair with you. And as always, it's just great to sit down with Tim. He's one of those guys where you can just sit down and talk. And as you saw and heard.
No. Tim's one of those guys you can sit down and listen.
And listen. Right. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's like he has such a fascinating life. He was born Roman Catholic. He lived right on the, you know, literally in the neighborhood of Lilydale.
Yeah.
And now, you know, is so deep into the spiritualism side of things that he's lived such an amazing life that you can just let him tell the stories and you just sit back and listen and enjoy him.
Yeah, and he is just a great guy.
Yeah, he really is. So once again, thanks to Reverend Tim Shaw for being inside Creaking Door Paranormal Radio. And coming into the final segment here of the show now, Brad. And speaking of another person that we've gotten to know over the years, as a matter of fact, we'll have him in the creaking door real soon, a friend of ours, Jeff Mudgett, who is the great-great-grandson of course, H.H. Holmes, the first American serial killer. We met Jeff how many years ago now in Chicago?
Oh, it's been quite a while, and this is before. This was Jeff's first, I believe, public appearance speaking on H.H. Holmes. And if you're not familiar with H.H. Holmes, look it up. There's a movie coming out based on a book, Devil in the White City, with Leonardo DiCaprio. It seems to keep hitting snags.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah.
Because I think it's going to be a big production.
Yeah. He was a very notorious serial killer that stalked the Chicago World's Fair back in the late 1800s. And he was the, they had a character of him on American Horror Story Hotel that season.
They did, yeah.
He was actually, if you watch that, he was the ghost of the founder of the hotel,
right,
was loosely based on H.H. Holmes. So very, very sick individual, but I guess this far removed from the case is kind of fascinating to read about the horrors that he perpetrated.
Well, we're coming up on our 8th annual Michigan Paranormal Convention, and I don't think Paracon had started that year we met him.
I
think it might have been the year before. So we're looking at almost a decade ago.
We've known Jeff.
Yeah, it was you and I and our other friends, Steve LaPlante. We went to Chicago for the Ghost Conference that Ursula Bielski puts on every year. And we knew this gentleman called Jeff Mudgett was going to be there. Had never met him. Met him.
No idea who he was.
No. He wrote the book called Bloodstains, which is based on him finding out that he is a direct descendant of Holmes.
Right, because that was a dark family secret.
It really was.
His grandfather was the only one that knew, I believe.
Yep. And he is a lawyer. That was his profession. But since he has found out that he was a direct descendant of Holmes, it's literally taken over his life.
Yeah.
So anyways, we're sitting there in Chicago, and it's the first night. We've never seen a picture of Jeff. And we get on the bus because we're going to eat dinner. We're going downtown Chicago right across from Wrigley Field, and we're going to go have dinner. And sitting on the bus right in front of us are these two gentlemen. And we start talking with them, just striking up a conversation. We're going to the same place, obviously. So they end up saying, hey, you want to sit with us for dinner? Let's hang out. So we had some burgers and some beers with these guys. And I remember halfway through the meal, we realized
This was Jeff Mudgett.
This was the great-great-grandson of Holmes.
Right.
And I remember, like, for a brief moment, I just sat there and just stared at him like, my God, the blood that runs through your veins.
Is he going to kill us with that steak knife?
Absolutely. Like, this is him, you know? It was seriously was a very brief, awestruck moment. And since then, we have had him on the show before. We've been on other shows with him. We've had him at Paracon. He's just a good guy.
He is.
And it's been fun to watch his process of trying to tell the story of believing. He truly believes that
H.H. Holmes is Jack the Ripper.
That's right.
And he's bringing that belief to the History Channel this spring.
Very happy for him. This has been a process, and it has been picked up by a production company. We've shared the teaser trailer on our Facebook page on Creaking Door, and it's called American Ripper. And I am so excited for this. I haven't been this excited for a new TV program to come out in quite a while.
No, it's going to be great to see. I hope they produce it the right way.
That's
and by
just
that
it.
I mean is not to over sensationalize and get too much of the drama built. But yeah, I'm so glad for Jeff to get this program this going off on the air coming up.
Right.
I believe he believed that they were going to have it out by April.
Sometime in April, he said. We're hoping to have him inside the creaking door before that is our goal. We're working on that as we speak, but he's busy wrapping up the season right now.
Right.
Still filming. So either way, get ready to watch that on the History Channel, again called American Ripper.
Right.
Fantastic. All right, let's go ahead and get into our final segment here, Brad, the last part of it, where we go mailbag, a chance for listeners of the Creaking Door to reach out to us if they ever have a question, comment, something they want to share with us. They can do so either by private messaging our Facebook page or posting it right on the page itself. And you can always find us on Facebook, just under Creaking Door Paranormal Radio. We're the only one out there. Plus, we have a website.
Right. Yep. It's creakingdoorparanormal.com.
There you go.
And we're tweetering.
We tweet now.
Yes.
Yes.
We're tweetering. We're on the Twitter.
We have finally taken that little blue bird. And we've been on Facebook for quite a while. Now we're breaking out into that. Maybe someday we'll go Instagram next.
No.
MySpace next.
Yeah. So. Everything comes full circle, as Tim was saying.
Yeah, that's right. All right. So here we we go. We got a nice comment on our page, and we want to share this one from. It's from McPherson County Paranormal Society. So they posted under their team's page. We never did get an actual name. McPherson County Paranormal Society says, man, I got to tell you, just found your show Monday at work, and I have listened to every episode. Wow. And it is the best.
You don't do a lot at work, do you?
Yeah. I'm assuming that. A desk job or in a vehicle.
I need that job.
Yeah, exactly. it is the best paranormal show I have listened to date. Would like to know if you know of a show that comes close. I need my paranormal fix, and everything else I have listened to either seems like day one of broadcasting, or they use a cell phone and blog talk radio, and the sound just grinds my gears. Thanks in advance, and keep up the awesome job. So thank you, McPherson County Paranormal Society, for reaching out to us on our Facebook page, and we appreciate the kind words too. Thank
yes,
you very much.
Definitely. And I think you really hit on a good point there too. There are some great shows out there. We have friends that have shows, but the platforms that some of them are using are such poor quality that some of them are honestly hard to listen to.
Right.
And I guess one that comes to mind that I enjoy, that I've always enjoyed, it would be Darkness Radio, which is now Beyond the Darkness on Podcast One, Chris Jericho's network.
Right.
And that's free of charge. And that's a 5-night-a-week show with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Right.
And I guess in your position and I'm sitting in the office, I do often have that on in the background. So that's one I've always enjoyed.
Yeah. So and as soon as I read that too, when that came through, that's the first show that I thought of as well. So
another one that's pretty decent out there that's been around for quite some time, Jim Harold's Campfire Stories.
Yes. I've actually listened to that one before.
That's a good one too.
Here's one thing that we would say to you, if you want to try to kind of filter it out, and you know, I have nothing against Blog Talk Radio. That's where I started my podcast career, if you will, many, many years ago with a different program. So it definitely has its place in the podcast world. But if you want to kind of filter it out a little bit, just go to iTunes if you can. If you have an iPhone and you can go to iTunes and Google Paranormal Podcast, because iTunes actually has a status, if you will. They have us. You have to meet a certain criteria for your show to be carried by iTunes. And so there's a lot of good ones. I actually found the Campfire one on iTunes, and that's where I first listened to it. And we're very honored and happy to be on iTunes as well. So, definitely check out Beyond the Darkness with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis. But then also, if you can, go to iTunes and just punch in Paranormal or Ghost Podcast, and you're going to find some good ones on there as well.
Yeah. Other locations that we go out through to, Google Play,
Stitcher
we're on. So
yeah,
there are some that do set a certain criteria.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, thank you, McPherson County Paranormal Society, for the wonderful comment and the question. So remember, you can always reach out to us as well for mailbag. Just find us on Facebook, send us a private message, or post it right on our wall, and we will pick our favorites and share them during an upcoming show.
Yes. Any hate mail? Anything you want to?
Yeah. Or we've even said recipes that we'll pass on to our wives and ask them to make for us. All right, Brad, go home and rest up your leg from your brand new tattoo that you literally just got before walking into the studio here. And that's going to do it for another edition of Creaking Door Paranormal Radio. Again, on behalf of our guest, Reverend Tim Shaw, our producers and co-host Brad Blair, and myself, Tim Ellis, thanks for coming on inside another edition of Creaking Door, powered by SlackJawPunks.com.
The Creaking Door.